definitely human.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Monster Hunters. Episode 3, The Hand of Anubis.
Well, here we are, Margot. The tomb of the cult of Anubis, shut off from the world for 3,000 years.
Oh, Lorimer, it's wonderful.
I bet you didn't realize being the wife of a monster hunt would be so exciting.
Well, there was that gargoyle that came to life last month.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
Well, you were unconscious for most of it.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for that.
And the tree beast the week after.
Oh, yes, thanks for that too.
Lorimer, these hieroglyphics, they look like a warning.
Oh, that's just the curse.
Curse?
Yes, didn't I tell you about that?
No.
Oh, it's nothing, really. Just if anyone breaks into the tomb of Anubis, the spirit of Anubis will possess one of these mummified bodies and kill them.
Which mummified body?
That one there.
The one sitting up?
Yes, that's right. Now look at these pots, Margot.
Laurie, it's looking at me.
Oh, nonsense. It's probably just got those eyes that look like they're following you around the room.
No, it's looking at you.
Oh, is it? Well, look, Margot, you be sure to let me know if it gets up and starts walking around.
Laurie?
Damn, I knew I shouldn't have said that. Quick, find something to hit it with.
How about this pot?
No, that's priceless. Hang on, I'll find something. Let's have a look here. No. Oh, that's lovely.
Lorimer, he's got me!
Oh. Unhand my wife, Anubis! Take your hand from around her throat!
Lorimer, your sword!
My sword? Oh, yes, of course! Ha!
Laurie!
Margot! No!
Take two elements, any two elements, say electricity and water. On their own, perfectly harmless. But when you mix them together, maybe in a bowl, dynamite. Roy Steele. Girl Pursuer and Demon Undoer. And Lorimer Chesterfield. He reads books, he writes books, sometimes he reads the books he's written. My name is Sir Maxwell House. I took those two elements and, like some kind of scientific blacksmith, I forged them together. Forged them into a team that would look danger in the eye and bring it down with the knowledge of a man and the fist of a man. They are the Monster Hunters.
Do we have to go through this every time we meet?
Yes, just so we're all clear who everybody is.
But there's only us here.
And Suki. Suki! They appear to be forgetting you're here. Could you be more here, please? Well, that will have to do for now. Gentlemen, sit down.
There aren't any chairs.
What? Oh, that's right, I'm having them reupholstered.
Ah, velvet?
No, concrete.
Concrete?
Don't knock it till you've tried it, Chesterfield. Have you seen all those modern concrete buildings? Beautiful. Anyway, have a seat.
Where?
I don't care. What am I, your mother? I'm not, am I?
No, Sir Maxwell. We've been through this before.
Well, if you say so, son.
Why don't we sit on the floor?
Splendid idea. Suki, bring us some more floor. Oh, you sat. Suki, forget the floor, but fetch a brandy, a scotch, and a vodka. And what about you, chaps? You want anything?
Is there a reason you've called us here today, Sir Maxwell?
As a matter of fact, yes. Professor Chesterfield, do you remember last year when your wife was killed in Egypt?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
Good, just checking. Have you been back to Egypt in the last 12 months?
No, I've not even looked at a picture of it.
Really?
It's true. I tried to show him a picture of a sphinx and he jumped through a window.
How likely is it that I would receive a parcel for you from Egypt?
Well, not very.
How not very? On a scale of 1 to 14?
Well, I don't know.
I'd say a 10.
Mm. Oh, no, probably more of a 12.
Really? So an 11, then?
Why are you asking, Sir Maxwell? Have you?
What?
Received a parcel from Egypt.
Have you? What a coincidence. So have I. Suki, the drinks. Thanks. Now fetch me the Egyptian package. You guys should try this. It's a cocktail I'm inventing. It's called a brand scotch. Thank you, Suki.
It's not very big, is it?
Know what it is?
Well, let's have a look. Some kind of package.
Excellent. That's first-class work. Meeting adjourned. No, wait! I have some questions.
What questions?
Thanks, Roy. I'm glad you asked. I was never properly debriefed about the whole Egypt thing, Professor Chesterfield. You went all morny on us.
I'm sorry about that.
No, Lorimer, don't you worry about that. Just never, ever do it again.
So what do you want to know?
Why were you even in Egypt in the first place?
Well, we were investigating some reported sightings of Anubis for the British Museum.
Anubis?
How much do you know about ancient Egypt?
Lots. Pyramids, pharaohs.
Yes, go on.
Didn't they invent dogs or something?
Right. Well, Anubis was a god. He was the lord of the underworld, the guardian of the dead. And it seemed his mummified body had been seen wandering around Giza. Mm.
If it was mummified, how did you know it was Anubile?
Anubis.
Bless you.
He's quite easy to spot. He has the head of a jackal.
Well, why the hell was he up and about?
Well, we...
Hang on, Chesterfield. Suki, make me another brand scotch cure. You cats want one?
Just a scotch for me, thanks.
You're living in the past, Roy. Chesterfield?
Just a water for me, thanks.
Sorry, Chesterfield, we're all out. Maybe next time. Now, on with your story.
Okay, very well. We were investigating the tomb of the cult of Anubis. It seems the pharaoh Charis was the leader of the cult of Anubis. They were an immensely dangerous order, dedicated to bringing Anubis's gift of death to all humanity. When Charis died, his body was mummified and sealed in the tomb.
Right. That was a bit dull, Professor Chesterfield. Liven the story up a bit, will you?
Okay. Well, what you might not know is that during embalming, the head embalmer often wore an Anubis costume.
Hmm.
On this particular occasion, Charis was so obsessed with the god, he ordered the head embalmer also be mummified and placed in the tomb with him. In costume.
So, who embalmed the head embalmer?
The trainee embalmer.
What, like work experience?
Well, yes. Yes, the work experience embalmer.
Right, and it was this embalmer fellow who was walking around pretending to be Anubis.
Well, no.
Oh, what?
According to the hieroglyphics on the tomb entrance, the legend has it if anyone breaks into the tomb of Anubis, the spirit of Anubis himself will possess the body of the embalmer and act as a guardian to the pharaoh's body.
But wait a minute. You broke into the tomb of Anubis.
Yes, Roy. We did.
Right. Let me get this straight. You broke into the tomb of the cult of Anubis, and so the actual god, Anubis, possessed the body of the mummified head embalmer of the pharaoh Charis and killed your wife.
Yes.
Good. Now I know the story. I love stories.
But it's definitely dead. I mean, again.
Well, once I cut through its arm, severing the hand, the connection between the mummy and the god was broken. It would have become a lifeless husk once again.
Right. And you checked?
Well, the head fell off.
Good. That's all right then. Meeting adjourned. Good work, everyone. Now get out of my house.
Well, Lorimer, old chap, I like what you've done with the place. What's this over here?
It's a kitchen.
Nice. I've got one of those. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it suits you.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Did you put that package on the table, will you?
Done. What do you think it is?
I don't know. It could possibly be from our guide, Trevor Malik Al-Hakum. Possibly some of Margot's effects I left.
Well, I'd better leave you to it. Wait. This photograph. Who is she? She's quite a looker.
That's Margot.
Is it? Oh, yes. Sorry, it's just been a while since I saw her.
It's all right.
She was certainly 100% a woman. And I should know, I've seen a lot of women.
Yes, thank you, Roy.
So, how did you two meet?
You really want to know?
Will it take long?
I had been working at London University for 10 years when she appeared. Her name was Margot. I didn't ask her last name. For me, it didn't matter. I always knew that one day it would be Chesterfield.
Excuse me. Is this the Department for Egyptology and Old Stuff?
No tea today, my dear. I've got a bun from home. Oh.
No, Professor, you don't understand. I'm not the tea lady.
No, you're not. My name is Lorimer Chesterfield.
Yes, I know. It says so on your door. And on the tag in the back of your shirt.
Well, you can see that from over there.
It pays to have good eyesight. You see, I'm your new assistant, Margot.
For the next 3 years, she worked under me, studying that which only a man could teach, Egyptology. She was the brightest woman I'd ever seen. When she was in a room, my electricity bill was instantly reduced. And then they would pull the brain out through the nose.
Norma?
Hmm?
I'm pulling your brain out through your nose.
No, I'm pulling your brain out through your nose. Those were happy times.
Yeah, right. What's in this case? The hooves of Hazel? Did you fellas own a goat?
The hooves of Hazal, Roy. Immensely powerful artifacts. Supposedly the last remains of the goat lord himself. We'd been asked by the British Museum to recover them from a site they'd located in the Outer Hebrides.
So, what? By day you were an academic working for London's London University, and by night you were a treasure hunter working on commission?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Dodging death at the hands of inescapable doom traps and poisonous blowpipe-wielding natives?
Yes.
Sounds a little implausible. Can't see it myself.
Yes, well, you're not the only one who used to lead a life of danger. Investigating the Anubis sightings seems like child's play compared to some of our adventures.
But this wasn't blind man's buff, unless that blind man could see and was keen on violence.
Oh, Roy, I was such a fool! My quest for knowledge, to be the one to best Anubis, to bring back his treasures for the British Museum. I just couldn't see the dangers. Oh, Margot.
Lorimer. Don't beat yourself up, man. You've learned the hard way about the dangers of this life. It's like going to Wales. You hear all about it, the promise of great things, and then when you get there, nothing can prepare you for the darkness. So, you going to open this thing?
I don't know, Roy. Maybe the past should stay in the past.
Not on my watch. I'm not leaving you alone tonight. What's in this kitchen of yours?
Eggs, a little bacon, some leftover pie.
Right.
Cheese.
You stay here. I'm off down the wavy line. I'm buying us some man food. You fix me a scotch, I'll be back in no time.
No, really, Roy. It's very kind, but I think I'd prefer it if...
Sorry, Lorimer. I can't quite hear you. You're breaking up.
Fine.
Excellent. You like branded instant soup?
No.
Of course you do!
Oh, Margot. What is it you've sent me? Let's have a look at this. Oh, a letter. Dear Professor Chesterfield, I trust this letter finds you in great pain. Oh, my name is Anubis. You remember me, guardian of the scales? We missed the opportunity for a formal introduction when we last met. This is mainly due to me killing your wife. That and your severing of my hand. Speaking of which, please find enclosed my severed hand. Yours sincerely, Anubis. I don't understand. This box is empty. What would Roy do in a situation like this? Oh yes, have a drink. Oh, thank you. Hang on just a minute. You're the hand! Now what's it doing? Good evening, Professor. I am the hand of Anubis. Yes, well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Sorry. Well, that's all right. Look, is there a quick way we could do this than you writing everything down? How about one knock for yes, two knocks for no? Good. So, Anubis, how did you get here? Have you an accomplice? Oh, then what? Did you post yourself? Oh, that's very clever. And not very modest. Are you here to kill me? Listen, I wish I'd never opened that bloody tomb. My lust for knowledge has led me to some dangerous places before, but I never realized it could lead to the death of my wife. I wish I could take it back. That's it. I could take you back there, place you back in the tomb and seal it up again for all eternity. Surely that would be acceptable to you. Do you really need to kill me? Damn. Oh, hang on. What's it doing? I must warn you, Anubis, that beneath my lanky frame lies a heart of iron. Pounce on me and I'll... Unhand me, you naughty hand. Ow! That's my face! Now, see here.
Lorimer, I'm back. I've got cream of tartar or Stilton. Which do you want? The tang of the Stilton mixed with the hot water is... By the bearded throat of God! Lorimer, are you okay? Hang on. Hold still. I need to get this hand from your throat. Oh, Christ! This thing's got a grip like my grandmother! Oh. There you go.
Oh, thanks, Roy.
Are you okay?
A bloody great hand was trying to throttle me.
That's a no, then.
What did you do with it?
Oh, I threw it in the corner.
Which corner, Roy? Which corner?
I didn't know you had so many. That one. Oh, it's gone.
Stay absolutely still. It could be anywhere in this room. Anywhere at...
Ow! Lorimer, your trousers!
Oh, get it off me, Roy, before it climbs any higher. Oh, dear.
Ah, it's no use, Lorimer. That fella's going nowhere.
The tea tray, Roy. Use the tea tray. Quickly, before this becomes humiliating.
Got it.
Yes, I heard. Now hit it.
There's no need to explain. When it comes to a beating, you're talking to an expert. Unhand him, you disembodied bastard.
Oh, thanks. Wait a minute, Roy. You've maddened it. Look out!
Lorimer, it's trying to kill me in the face.
Hold still, old fellow.
No, not the tea tray. No.
Okay, hold on then. I've got a scroll around here somewhere.
What, a scroll? What are you going to do? Read to it until it falls asleep?
Almost, but not quite. Right, let's have a look. Got it. Okay, now let's have a look at this. Thou Lord of Souls. Oh, thou Lord of the Tomb. Thou Mighty One, Anubis. Let this limb be without movement. Let it...
Lorimer, it's loosening. This is where I come in.
No, wait, Roy, I haven't finished.
I've never punched myself in the face before. It's quite novel. I'll just put this fella back in its box, and we can pop it to Sir Maxwell.
Ooh.
What's wrong, old man?
I didn't get to finish the scroll.
Well, you can read it later, and in peace. Now this thing's dead.
Is it, Roy? Is it?
Yes.
Hmm.
You know, I've got to hand it to you, Lorimer. You sure know how to make enemies.
Was that a joke?
Yes.
Right, just wanted to be sure.
Well, now we've got that cleared up, let's get rid of this thing. I'm sure...
What?
The hand. It's gone.
Roy Steele, you idiot! If only you'd let me finish the incantation!
Was it important?
I was reading from the ancient Scroll of Death. It's like the Scroll of Life that can give renewed life to inanimate objects, but instead...
I can get the picture.
Instead of killing it, you've only stunned it. Now it's loose somewhere in the flat, like a fleshy spider.
Oh.
What?
It's worse than that. Look at this note.
Dear Professor, my apologies for not killing you. Until we meet again, when I will tear your head from your willowy shoulders, I am ever yours, Anubis. Oh, there's a PS.
What does it say?
P.S. I've borrowed your friend's car keys.
My Jensen!
We've got to get to Sir Maxwell so we can warn the authorities.
With what? He's driving my car, and I don't have third party.
Well, thankfully, Roy, I do have a mode of transport. A transport used by myself and Margot when we're on our holidays. It's in that cupboard over there.
A tandem?
Dialing the phone. Hello, is that Roy Steele?
Yes.
Roy.
That's great. Could you put Lorimer Chesterfield on, please?
Sir Maxwell, we're standing in front of you.
What? Oh, yes. Hang on, sorry. I'm going to have to go. That's better. Now, what are you cats doing here?
Sir Maxwell, there's no time. The hand of Anubis is loose.
Oh, come now, Professor Chesterfield.
It's true, Sir Maxwell. That crazy hand jumped out of a window, stole my car and took off. God help us if it's found a way to a nightclub. Think of the ladies.
Why would it find its way to a nightclub?
Because I ripped out all the pages from my A to Z that didn't refer to nightclubs. And that's most of them.
You're both being ridiculous. You're hysterical. Suki, slap them. No? Oh, very well.
I saw it with my own eyes. A mummified hand.
And how do you know it was the hand of Anubis?
It told me so.
Now, Professor Chesterfield, you know better than to trust a strange disembodied hand. Look what happened to my second wife.
Take a look at this.
Did you just draw this?
That's right.
It's me being attacked by the hand. Did you do this from memory?
That's right.
Oh, I wonder why you were so still.
To create great art.
You know, 5 minutes ago, I was willing to throw you guys out on the street like the filthy vagrants you aren't. But now I've seen this crude stick drawing.
Yes?
Well, maybe it explains this telephone call I got from the Egyptian post office.
What did it say?
I don't know. It was in foreign. Fortunately, Suki speaks 15 different varieties of foreign, so I made her tell them to go away, but not before they told me, by which I mean her, some interesting news.
Which was
what? Oh, yes, the news. They asked me if we had received the first package and that the rest of the consignment was on its way to the British Museum.
Roy, this is much worse than we thought.
Why?
Don't you see? If that hand has escaped, it must have realised it cannot kill us alone.
You mean?
That it needs the power only a torso and maybe some legs can provide. That second consignment can only be the rest of Anubis.
But how do you know?
In 3 days' time, the Egyptology Department of the British Museum is hosting a tribute to Margot Chesterfield. If it posted its hand here, it could easily have posted the rest of it there.
Then what are we waiting for? Sir Maxwell, can we borrow your chopper?
Don't you want to use the tandem?
No.
Oh, that was fast.
I didn't realise Suki could fly those things.
Right, the Margot Chesterfield exhibit is this way, Roy.
Lorimer, are you going to be all right? I mean, your wife.
That mummy killed my wife. I'll be damned if it's going to ruin her memory.
Are you getting all fighty?
No, Roy. I'm getting very fighty. Now follow me. Right, it's through this door. Look! By the sarcophagus.
The hand of Anubis.
If the hand of Anubis comes into contact with the body of Anubis, then it will once more become...
Anubis?
Well, yes.
Then what are we standing here for? Stop right there, hand!
It's not stopping.
Grab it then!
Oh, too late! Anubis lives!
Anubis lives!
Yes, I just said that.
I know! I was just checking my voice worked.
And you needed your hands for that?
Of course. He couldn't reanimate until he was whole.
Good boy! Now let's see if the rest of me works.
Anubis, please! That was a priceless antique.
No, it wasn't. It was a gift for the Pharaoh Charis. He got it free with a pyramid consultation.
Yes, but that was 3,500 years ago.
What?
That's right, Sonny. It's 1971.
The gods! It's the future!
That's right. And there's no need for all the wanton destruction of yesteryear. We live in a forgiving age of peace and prosperity.
That's right. You could be happy here. We could get you a job at the Wimpy. Half man, half tea towel.
What? I am Anubis, lord of the underworld. And to be honest, I'd better get back there. I've been stuck in this body for the past year.
Well, let us help you. How can we get you out of that body?
I need to kill all who entered my tomb.
Ah.
Not on my watch. Lorimer, stand back.
This does not concern you, mortal. All I want is the Chesterfield man.
Well, I happen to like the Chesterfield man. Now, Anubis, prepare to be annihilated.
What was that?
Like the Nile?
Oh, Roy, that was bad. Roy, look out!
Ooh!
You knocked him out!
Yes, I know! And now I will crush you like a scarab beetle!
Wait!
I don't have time to wait! The underworld needs me! And my bandages are coming loose.
Yes, I noticed that. You've lost a finger.
What? Where?
Over there.
Where?
Aha!
I can't move my hand! What futuristic magic is this?
It's called a stapler. You are incapacitated, Anubis.
I shall force my way free. You cannot stop me.
No? What if I take these?
Leave that cabinet alone!
These Mesopotamian spring scissors should do nicely.
Oh, no! Stop that!
Right, just a few choice cuts here and...
Ah, my hand! I like that hand! I was going to use it to crush your windpipe!
And now for the Scroll of Death. Any last words, Anubis?
Hang on. Let me think.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I know. How about...
Oh!
Time for your last words, Chesterfield. These staples of yours are no match for my undead strength.
Oh, my head. What was I drinking?
Roy!
Lorimer, I can't understand you. Speak up!
Stroll!
A stroll? Now's not the time, man. I need to save you.
No, scroll.
Stole? He stole what?
He's saying scroll, you fool.
Oh, thanks. Toss it here, Lorimer. Thanks. Right. Now, let's have a look at this. My God, this writing's terrible. Right, let's see. What have we here? Right, well, the gist is, stop moving around. Let all your bits dry up and not have stuff in them, and just basically stop jiggling around, really.
What? No!
Oh, thanks, Roy.
Is that it? He stopped.
Yes, he's completely mummified again. It can't harm anyone. But just to be on the safe side...
He's disintegrated.
Oh, I feel awful.
What, your throat?
No, I've completely ruined the display. Who wants to see a mummy exhibition with no mummy?
Well, there are bits of it.
Yes, I suppose that'll have to do. The important thing is it's over.
Yes. Drink?
Well, why not? You know what? I think I could do with a brand scotch decur.
Now you're talking! There's one thing that's still confusing me, Lorimer.
What's that?
You and Margot went to Egypt to investigate sightings of Anubis.
Yes.
But he wasn't up and about until you broke into the tomb.
No.
So, who was the first Anubis?
Well, that's a strange tale. We found the original creature. It appeared to be a simian beast with a canine appendage atop it.
A monkey with the head of a dog?
Yes, and it looked man-made. We didn't mind, though, as it ended up leading us to the tomb.
Convenient.
What do you mean?
Well, don't you think it could have been planted there to lure you to the tomb?
Oh, Roy, who would do a thing like that? Really, I didn't think you'd be so paranoid. You'll be telling me next that car over there is a chauffeur-driven car of some evil genius, that this whole thing has been some kind of interesting test.
So, Roy Steele and Lorimer Chesterfield live to fight another day. But I think this has proved a most interesting test. Clive?
Yes, Lord Greg?
Home, Clive. I have things to prepare, Clive. Great things.
The Hand of Anubis was written and directed by Peter Davis and Matthew Woodcock. With Matthew Woodcock as Roy Steele, Anubis and Clive, Peter Davis as Lorimer Chesterfield and Lord Greg Powers, Simon Dillon Kane as Sir Maxwell House, and Laura Marshall as Margot Chesterfield. Engineered and edited by Peter Davis, music and sound effects supplied by Chaotic Creations. With thanks to Heather Dool, Laura Davis and Emma Gibbs. Visit our website at www.themonsterhunters.com. This was a Newgate production.
And it is difficult to tell them apart. But that's why I have this little rhyme. Okay, you yep. ready? Okay. Which is, if you're eating with a fork, it must be a hawk. If you're being chased by a beagle, it must be an eagle.
That makes perfect sense.
It does, doesn't yeah, it? That's it right. Does.
Oh, now, hello, listeners.
What are you doing here? Why are you in our house, our actual house?
Welcome to Behind the Scenes of Monsters and Their Hunting with the Monster Hunters. So today we're going to be talking about episode 3, The Hand of Anubis.
The inevitable mummy episode.
Yes, absolutely. So this was one that came from the original play yeah. that we did. During the original stage play, there was a backstory slash flashback about Lorimer and this encounter with a disembodied hand.
Yes.
It was mainly me on stage on my own with a fake hand jumping around, smashing things up.
I would say this is both my favourite of the ones that we adapted.
Yeah.
And also it was my favourite bit from the stage play itself.
Because you had played the hand.
I played the
behind
hand.
Behind a table. Knocking on the table, talking to Lorimer. That stuff was very funny on stage, but the hand
on
pouring
audio.
A drink, that was quite difficult for us to find a way of making it work on audio.
I think it kind of does.
I think, no, it does. We found it eventually, but it's...
It took us a few goes, because you don't want to fall into that trap of...
Describing what's
going on, and I think we kind of get
it's
away with it.
It's very difficult to write physical comedy.
That's what
in,
it is.
In
it's
audio.
Slapstick. It's kind of slapstick.
It is tricky.
In the stage play, I think the Anubis sequence is probably only about 5 or 10
about
minutes
five
long.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 minutes.
And so we extrapolated quite a lot from that. It's very different to... I mean, there's a lot more backstory and there's a lot more stuff in it. It's probably the bit of the stage play, of the three that were adapted from the stage play, that is the most different
to the source material.
Yes,
because
I agree.
We added in Roy and we made more of it. So there's the
lovely... And we brought in Margot as well in the flashbacks.
Yeah, and that's nice. This episode is probably the culmination of the kind of mini storyline about Lorimer Chesterfield and why he is so kind of reserved.
Yeah, so it's played by Laura Marshall, who is actually, behind the scenes, Nugget, my actual wife in real life.
What?
Yeah, do you know that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
What?
She's in most of the episodes.
She's
really,
brilliant.
She?
She's great. Although she's kind of the fourth wheel of the
she
Monster
is,
Hunters.
Yeah, yeah. The two of us, Simon Kane and Laura, we're sort of the key cast to keep coming back time and time again.
Because she's very versatile and she can do things very quickly. She can pick up really good. She's really good at picking up accents. And she really gets the material as well. So she's always it's always.
I
great
married
to
her
work
for
with
her accents. Let's be honest. That was, yeah. That's what it was. So this episode has a big influence from a Hammer movie as well.
Hammer had like three strings to their bow in the height, or at least it feels like it from the outside. You've got the Dracula films that they did, and we did with the Count Orloff in the first episode. And they did Frankenstein, which we kind of riff on a bit later on, but not here. And then they had a few Mummy films as well.
Yeah.
Which were basically set in the late Victorian era, lots of colonialists going over and being terrible to the Egyptians. And then the Egyptian mummies coming to life and knocking them off one by one.
And our scroll was a bit of a take on the scroll from the Hammer movies.
Yeah, there's in the first Mummy film, The Mummy.
Which is quite good.
It is very good.
It's a good film.
It is of its time, but it's very good. There is a scroll of life which brings the mummy back, and we had
the scroll of death, which is pretty much the scroll of life just written in reverse.
In reverse. That's how clever we were as this is we're giving all our secrets away. Nothing is left. We stand before you naked as nature intended.
I'm surprised you are. I mean, I'm not. I'm actually wearing clothes today, but
you said we didn't have
I
to.
Know. I know. You didn't have to, but I thought I should because, you know.
Right.
So, listening back to it again recently, it's a very complicated story and plot we came up with for this.
Are you saying it might be convoluted?
And I love the way that Sir Maxwell says the whole convoluted story very quickly all of a sudden. It's to make sure that the listeners are actually on board with what we're saying as well, because it is... Yeah, it does make sense if you think about it, but it's quite hard to describe quickly as we try and do in the episode. But Sir Maxwell gets it, so if he can understand it, then
surely you too can understand it. About it. It is clear. It is clear.
And then, of course, Anubis himself, when he comes to life, was played by you.
Yes, this is the first and one of the only times I actually play... I don't really play that many people in the Monster Hunters Roy. You tend to play a few people, and we get some to play a few people. But this is one of the few times I play somebody else, and I quite enjoyed it because I noticed I gave Anubis a slight northern accent.
Oh, yeah, he's totally northern. It's brilliant. I love it.
I like that.
But also the voice you chose to use meant that after every single take, you had to basically cough your guts out and have a drink of water.
Goodness me, yes. Because
you were doing this talk like this.
It was very hard, very difficult to talk like that.
After every take, you go, oh, I've got to have some water.
Please kill me now. I've done a wrong thing.
But it worked. It worked.
It worked very nicely, I thought.
Lorimer's tandem turned up for the first time.
Yeah. This is the first, fact fans, this is the first appearance of Lorimer's tandem. A tandem being a bicycle with two seats on it.
Because the hand steals Roy's Jensen.
This is one of the few appearances of Roy's Jensen Intercept.
Yeah, one of, I think, only two or three.
We'll talk about that later on. But of course, at this point, Roy is a massive playboy. He has a lovely flat.
Yeah, he's a rich playboy.
He's got a lovely car. He's at the peak of his powers. And I think, also, this episode kicks off the little storyline that kind of bubbles away before, but really kicks off in this episode, which is... The first three episodes about Lorimer, this is where it starts to be about what motivates Roy, and it's really about Roy's relationship with Lord Greg Powers. So if you've never heard it, we will not talk about it. If you have heard it, don't tell anybody else. Don't go around anybody else's house and look smug.
Yeah, come on.
Because that's not fair. No one likes smug.
Anubis says, don't spoil it for other people.
Don't spoil it! Don't spoil it! Or I will come to your house! And I will stand outside your house and I will breathe through your letterbox in a menacing way.
Thanks, Anubis.
That's all right.
So thank you for listening. We're going to wrap this one up now. We'll be back for the next one.
Throw another log on the fire, Peter.
There isn't a fire in here.
What's that crackling noise?
Oh, God, there's a fire. We better go. Thank you for listening. See you soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.